This is Jerry Sands. You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News.
You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where your passion for the Tigers knows no limit. Today is Wednesday, March the 3rd, and this is episode 122. I'm your host, Daily Sports columnist T-Ray, and with me today, I've got JD. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Gray and rainy here in Kyoto again today. So I'm looking at Sanjay here and feeling pretty jealous about where he's at right now.
Yeehaw! And Sanjay out in Hawaii, tell us how you doing, buddy.
Aloha, brother JD and brother T-Ray. I'm doing very well, thank you. It's a little bit windy. It's been windy the last few days, like windy enough that the outdoor canopy that we have is in danger of blowing away. But other than that, we're in the low 70s, mid-70s, about 20 plus degrees, so we're all good here.
Well, and the winds blew JD's name correct into your ears again, because last time I think you fumbled that one. Well, anyways, we got a great show for you guys today as we look at who's fighting for playing time at which positions this year, and what their odds are of getting that playing time. So strap in and join us for a great ride. First up, it's time for those rumors and news.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
So as all of you know, camp wrapped up on March the 1st. And the boys are back in Kansai, but they will be heading out on the road for some preseason games as early as this Friday. Before we talk about the results of the games that they played down in Okinawa, let's look at the injury report, which is kind of our biggest news, the biggest news stories here. The day we recorded the last episode, 121, Haruto Takahashi complained of pain in his right oblique. It is a strain, and it is probably going to have him out for, they say, probably a couple of months. So he is probably going to miss opening day. This is the fourth straight season that he has not been on the roster on opening day, which is really unfortunate. What is he, the Marte of pitchers now, or what? Jeez Louise. So, anyways, this is a guy, I mean, Yano's kind of taking it in stride and saying, well, whatever. I mean, as long as he puts in a good season, it doesn't matter if he doesn't make it in time for opening day. But the next bit of news had me against the ropes and possibly the team as well, because on the 22nd of February, Yuki Nishi, our ace, our projected opening day starter, returned to the Osaka area 1 week before the rest of the boys because of asthmatic symptoms. His coughing just kept coming and coming. And so there was worry that he may not make it for opening day as our pitcher, but I think Sanjay caught something on the news wire a little bit earlier. So if you want to fill us in, man.
Yeah, so apparently he'd always had this sort of asthmatic condition, and it worsened up. But in some of the wires this morning, they said that he is scheduled to join the team as they go to Fukuoka. He's supposed to pitch a couple of, or throw a few pitches today, the third, in preparation for pitching against the SoftBank Hawks on the 5th. So that's very, very good and welcome news. Kanemura and Yano were both on board, coaches and the head coach. And that with 3 weeks to go, this is probably the last day that he could start to prepare for an actual opening day start. But he managed to slip in under that gun.
Right. So the idea is that he goes, I think, 2 innings this Friday. And then he'll probably, I mean, if things go well, he'll start on the 12th against the Lions and then the 19th against the Buffaloes in preparation for the 26th against the Swallows opening day. So he'll probably ramp it up maybe 4 innings on the 12th and then 5 on the 19th. I don't know. We'll see. But that is great news because that puts us in a bit less of a bind when it comes to our pitchers. One more guy that went down with an oblique injury, way less crucial, is Shota Suzuki, who is a triple-digit development player anyways, so he wasn't going to be top squad material anyhow. You know, there is hope for him later down the road, like next year and beyond. But so he's going to be out for a couple of months as well. That was on the 26th of February. As far as the pitchers, that's all I know as far as the hurts go. As far as hitters, though, Kota Inoue bruised his knee doing the death knock, which is just the thousand fungo, whatever it's called, thing. I guess like one of the balls hit him in the knee real hard. So he actually left the field on crutches, but apparently it's just a deep bruise and he should be okay. But we'll talk about him later as far as his odds of being on the top squad and getting playing time. Yuya Katayama, who is our fourth or fifth string catcher, broke the hamate bone in his right hand, similar to what Kento Itohara did last season. So that'll have him out for probably a couple of months. Again, he's not a key part of the top squad anyways. He's never has been yet. But still, injuries are injuries. We don't like that to happen to anybody. Nagasaka, another catcher, another fourth, fifth string guy, twisted his ankle, but I think he's back playing again. And then Oyama actually hurt his lower back, but he is back to playing as well. He got some playing time, I think, in the last exhibition game that we had on the 28th of February. So he's back to okay. Well, that's about it. And so Yano says, you know, the camp went off fairly well without too many hiccups. You know, a minimal amount, because every team, I think, is going to have their share of you know, cuts and scrapes and bruises and stuff. So hopefully we'll get into the start of the season with minimal damage, with maybe Haruto being the biggest issue. And as we'll talk about later, we do have some guys in on the roster that could take his place in that starting rotation. Well, anyhow, Yano gives the camp overall a score of close to 100. This is something the media likes to do here. Give us a score. How did they do in camp? Well, everybody looks good in camp, bro. I mean, everybody, you know, unless they get hurt, they're coming in because they want playing time in the spring and summer and fall. So, of course, everyone looks great. Well, they also always name an MVP. They'll ask the Kantoku, the manager, hey, who's the MVP of the camp? Like it matters. Well, they gave it to Takayama as far as the hitters go. He batted 14 for 35 for a 429 average in game action. This is a guy that also won the MVP, I think, last year, they said. And he also won the Fan Kansha, Fan Appreciation Day MVP. So he's on a 3 MVP in a row streak. Let's see if this one makes a difference, though. Third time's a charm. But he really does. He looks serious, man. I mean, not to say he was goofing before, but he definitely looks like he wants playing time. And I am in his corner cheering for him. And as far as pitchers go, they said Fujinami was the MVP of the camp. Man, you guys, we can talk about him later on as well during the Hot Topic, but he looked like his young self again, the one that's kind of in control and has confidence and so on. What did you guys think about him during spring training?
I didn't really get much of a chance to watch a lot of these games, actually, so I just saw a little bit. But yeah, he looked really good. Reading, you know, a couple of interviews with him, it looks like he's focusing on, you know, depending on his fastball a little bit less, maybe going to more breaking pitches, trying to get the number of fastballs overall, the percentage lower. So, you know, maybe he's getting some much needed confidence in his breaking stuff. And that might sort of be the key for him. Although we've talked endlessly about what the key for Fujinami actually is, the proof is going to be in the pudding. But with him, I feel like it's probably more of an emotional issue, you know, a confidence issue than anything. And if he's got that, then, you know, we might be looking good.
He really looks like he's found his mojo. I mean, when he's on the mound and even off the mound, when he's talking in interviews and stuff, like, he doesn't look like the same, leave me alone, like, I don't want to talk to anyone kind of guy, right? Or like, I just want to go hide in a corner or go back to partying. So yeah, good on him.
That was evident as well when he was already pitching as a middle reliever last year, when, you know, he looked like he was actually having fun out there again. Baseball was fun for him. And of course, this year, as we all know, that he's gone back to the full windup, which was his deal in high school as well as his first year in the pros. And he had abandoned it for a while in favor of getting better control, but he's gone back to it. And I think it just lets him, you know, let it fly a little bit looser.
And the final piece that seals the deal is that he's got an Instagram account.
There you go. I'm following.
Well, honestly, you might think I was being facetious, but at the same time, I mean, this is a guy that was trying to hide from the, you know, the fear of being heckled by the public or being pestered by the media and everything being blown out of control. But now he's like, you know what? I'm going to show the fans a little bit of who I am, because I want them to get to know me, the person, as opposed to just me, the pitcher, who's been struggling for the last 3-4 years.
What do you think? Do you think, I mean, the switch to reliever seems to have, you know, been a positive thing for him. Do you think maybe some of the pressure of being that, you know, up and coming, like, superstar starter being removed has been a factor in all this?
Honestly, I don't. And that's only because that's what he said. He said in an off-season interview, a lot of people are crediting my turnaround or my change to the fact that I was put in the bullpen for that little bit. But actually, I'd figured stuff out on the farm. I was doing better on the farm before I got called up. And it was just happenstance that I was put into the bullpen when I got called up. So I don't know. I mean, it could be, there might be part of it that is that, but I think it also could be other things as well. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, we are going to recap the the exhibition games that we played down in Okinawa. But before that, let's give some shout outs to the patrons. So we got Richard Guywitz. Thank you so much. You have been you were one of the first patrons on board. You're still with us, chugging along, and H10 is in your corner. We're thankful to have you along. Tom Zilla is the curator and the man behind the Being Kansai account on Twitter, giving you all the news on the region. For as long as you can't be here, I mean, that's where you're going to get all the stuff that you need. But hopefully, you know, sometime this year, they will allow people back into Japan and you can go to Kansai. You can maybe meet Tom and thank him for all his great information. William Schofield is signed up for the Koshien Tour, which we're hoping is going to happen this year. Let's see. Come on, everybody. Stay home and let William come back to Japan for once. And then finally, we've got Michael Schulke. Hope I got your name right, buddy. He is on the Digital Light Plan, which gives him a shout out on here, plus a bunch of other stuff. We're going to be watching a live game together probably either in March or in April as well. So props to all of you. And for the rest of you, you still got a chance. Sign up at Patreon, patreon.com/thehanshintigers. All right, guys. So the last time that we left off was the 17th of February. And so we had about 2 weeks of camp left. And I've got 6 games to report to you on. And probably the first one is the best one as far as just having some big news. This has already, you know, circulated through plenty, so you've probably heard this already. But we faced the Bay Stars in Ginawan. It was a very windy day. Koyo Aoyagi went up against a lineup of all lefties, actually. I can't believe they used that strategy as early as February, but they did, and it went off without a hitch. But the man of the match was definitely Teruaki Sato, who got 4 hits, 3 RBI. His home run went over the center field scoreboard for an estimated 460 feet. What a feat. And then also Sakamoto hit a home run, and the rookie catcher Yuki Sakai that gunned down 3 guys at second base, which is highly impressive as well. I do want to put two caveats on that, though. First of all, the Bay Stars were the worst running team in the Central and in NPB last year. And secondly, they were running on dirt infields, which, you know, even for the slow Bay Stars, that's an extra slow me down right there. They're not used to that, whereas our guys are. So take it for what it's worth.
Jeez, give the guy a break, man.
Well, I mean, hey, actually his percentage behind for gunning down guys at second was like 875 this spring. So, I mean, it's not just the dirt or the slow Bay Stars, but, you know, just want to make sure people don't get overhyped on anybody except Sato. Okay, so moving on, the 20th, we go in against the Dragons, and this one was not pretty as far as the pitchers go, but it really is not that big of a deal. I mean, Junya Nishi went 4 innings and allowed 3 runs. I think it was a 3-run home run to Toshiki Abe. And then Iwasada gave up 2 runs as well. We lost 9-4. The man of the match for us was Naomasa Yokawa, who hit a home run and had a double for a total of 3 RBI. The very next day, we hosted the Carp. Fujinami looked good. Rookie Daichi Ishii, reliever, looked good. Takayama had a couple of great hits, but it was his base running that impressed me the most. This is the guy that took second on a shallow single. He also took third on a bobbled ball, and he dashed home on a grounder to a drawn-in infield, and he was safe. So he looked good in all of that. Tigers won 4-3. A couple days later, Bay Stars again. Akiyama looks good. Sato got his first walk of the spring, which was kind of significant because it was an 11-pitch at-bat, which shows that he has got patience, but he's also got the ability to foul off pitches and just hang in there, which to me is just another sign that maybe this guy is the real deal. Tigers lose 4-1. Who cares? Kinami with an RBI triple. And then I think these two count in the standings, or at least that was my understanding earlier, but then I've read things to the contrary. Anyways, 27th and 28th, the final 2 full days of camp, we played against the Dragons in their park in Chatan. We won that one 8-1. We had a prediction at the end of the last show, who is going to hit the first home run of the spring. JD, you said?
Chikamoto.
And Sanjay said?
Takayama.
And T-Ray said Sato, and we were all wrong. We all picked lefty hitters. It was a righty. None other than Fumihito Haraguchi hit the first home run of the spring. I'm okay with that.
Go, Gucci!
Yeah. And then Dan Onodera also hit a three-run home run. So we got a couple of bombs in that one. Marte with three RBI, including one RBI single on a 17-pitch at-bat. I mean, fouling machine. So that was kind of the talk of the day for sure. But also, Aoyagi, three innings pitched, all clean. Fujinami, three innings pitched, one run against. And then for the final game of the spring, or spring training in Okinawa, we faced the Swallows down in Urasoe. We beat them 4-3, Yoshio Itoi with two RBI, and we had the import pitchers taking care of the first five innings, with Chen going two and allowing a home run to Tetsuto Yamada. Joe Gunkel with two clean, and then Edwards with one clean. And the rest of the way, we had some other guys randomly, one inning each. But 4-3 win. So wins mean nothing during this time of year anyways. But the way I look at it is this. The object of the game is always to win. And if you're winning, it means that whatever you're trying, even if you're experimenting with stuff, it means the stuff you're trying is working. And that's a good sign, right? So if we lose and guys say, yeah, well, I just wanted to test a new pitch, or I was just working on my, you know, on my swing or whatever. It's like, okay, you worked on it and it didn't work. So that's kind of not a good sign in a way, right? Whereas if they work on it and it's successful, hey, the team wins, it's good stuff. Well, that'll do it for the recaps, folks. And that means that we are moving into the hot topic. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Hot topics. Hot topics. Today's hot topic is the roster depth charts. And if you've been following along on Patreon or even on the H10 website, I posted kind of a depth chart that I made really quickly, just listing guys at different positions, and I put them kind of where I thought they fell as far as the order that they will get playing time. Things might have changed since then, but also I've got a round table now to talk this over with my guys who are also Hanshin fans and on their way to becoming elite experts in the field of Hanshin Tigers. So take it. All right.
Who are you talking about?
We're going to get to the pitching later. We'll start with the position players. And of course, we're going to go down to the catching position where we have four guys that were down in Okinawa. I'm listing these now, not in the order of my depth chart, but rather in numerical order. So you can take it for what that means, but we're all going to talk about who we think has got the upper hand and why, or things like that. And I might just come in and disagree with you guys for the sake of disagreeing. Okay. So at catcher, we have number 2, Umeno, number 12, Sakamoto, number 39, Sakaeda, and number 94, Haraguchi, who are probably the four most likely to be on the top squad or in the lineup or the next guy up to the top squad. What are your thoughts? Who should get the most playing time and how much? JD.
Well, I'm going to say Sakaeda, all the gunning down of runners he did in that game. I think he probably starts off in Nigun, and no surprises here with what I'm going to say, but Umeno gets the most playing time as primary. Sakamoto is sort of the secondary, and then probably have Haraguchi in there because of what he's able to do as a pinch hitter, or at least was able to do last season. Have him in there to pinch hit and then come in as a defensive replacement later on. Pretty standard stuff, I think.
Sanjay, any room for disagreement on that?
No room for disagreement, although I have to say that I spent about 7 minutes today watching Sakamoto do some catching drills on YouTube to try to understand what, you know, the whole framing thing was that he's so well known for. And I'm sorry to say, I still don't really get it. I mean, I get it, but I'm not sure that pitchers love him. And so he must be doing something right. And obviously, I'm not a pitcher at the pro level, so I can't really appreciate him as much. But, you know, hats off to him for what he does.
Right. So I think with framing, I mean, there's a combination of things. And what book was I reading? I was reading some book that talked a little bit more about that. Oh, Big Data Baseball. Well, anyways, the catcher is framing the pitches, and he's not going to influence the ump's call that often in a game. But those, you know, maybe half dozen times, if that he's able to do so, could make a huge difference in either working the count or even getting the outs, right? Getting the strikeout. So, I mean, it does have an impact on the game for sure. The way that the Pirates brought in Russell Martin and it really transformed the team was huge. I think that another thing that is important with catchers too is calling the game and having that trust of the pitching staff. If Sakamoto has got that, then good on him. I really think that Umeno calls a really good game, and the proof of that is in the fact that our team has had one of the best ERAs in the Central for the past, what, 4 or 5 years, right? And I think a lot of that does, I mean, obviously the pitchers have to get credit for a lot of that, but the catcher calling that game is also huge. And the fact that experience that he's got goes miles and miles towards putting him ahead of Sakamoto and Haraguchi. I'll also say this. I may have mentioned this on a previous show, but Umeno is eligible for free agency at season's end. And I'm not saying we have to bow down to him and give him everything that he wants this year. But really, I mean, if we want him to be happy as a Tiger, we kind of have to make him happy in 2021 to make sure we can lock him in for future seasons. Because this is a guy that really, I mean, he could be, as far as the whole package goes, he could be the top catcher in NPB. You know, you've got Kai, who's awesome on defense, and you've got Mori, who's a really good hitter, and you've got a couple other names in there as well. Aizawa for the Carp being one of them, and Oshiro for the Giants being another. But as far as the whole package goes, Umeno could be top. So any team would be foolish not to try and go for him if he declares himself eligible for free agency. Well, let's make sure that doesn't happen. I would say you got to give him at least 4 games a week as long as he's healthy.
They've got to figure out a way to lock him up no matter what. I mean, he's really in that sweet spot too in terms of being relatively young, but also having the experience under his belt. You'd be crazy not to find some way to lock him up before he even hits free agency.
Yeah, that's a pretty uncommon thing though in Japan, especially because free agency is so hard to achieve. I think guys always like to kind of get that under their belts and say, well, I need some time to think about it. And it adds a bit of drama, and it really does give them the opportunity to reflect on it once the season's over. You know, I don't know how much of it's lip service when they say, well, I'm too focused on, you know, the game to think about free agency right now. You kidding? Like, they got 24 hours, man. I mean, they could have dreams about it. I mean, they could, you know what I mean? Like, think about it over breakfast, whatever. Anyhow, okay, let's move on to the next position, and that would be first base, where I put down as the three biggest candidates. So I can add one more that I didn't put on the list though. Oyama, who wears number 3, Marte, who wears number 31, Sands, who wears number 52, and then Yokawa could be a dark horse to get some time there as well, who wears number 55. Any thoughts on this?
Man, I mean, this one's tricky because it's also, you know, what happens at third base factors into this as well, I think. And man, I don't know. It's just so hard to tell before you see how guys are going to perform. My instinct is to say Marte at first and Oyama at third. But then again, you know, what Sato does will affect what Oyama does. And then what, you know, what Marte does affects what Oyama does as well. And Sands is in the mix as well. I don't know. It's going to be some combination of those guys. But beyond that, I just can't say anything at this point.
Well, Sanjay watched a really interesting video about what Mr. Kakefu had to say about this situation. So I'm going to let him fill us in on that.
Yeah, so this was Mr. Tigers himself. Kakefu was gushing all kinds of love for Sato. And not just that the guy ought to be given playing time right away, but that he had good leather and also a cannon arm, which was better, he said, than Oyama's. And that Oyama was always a little bit iffy in his throws to first. And if you could alleviate the pressure on Oyama just a tad by moving him over across the diamond to play first base and remove that one extra thing of pressure on him. He's already the captain and the bat, you know, batting cleanup and so on. You know, cut him some slack over there and let him benefit the team. He thought that that would be the best way for best give the team the best chance to win. And, you know, there's a lot of argument to be said in favor of that.
Okay. Well, that puts Marte sort of, out in the cold, so to speak. And because, I mean, we're not going to not have Sands in the lineup, I'm assuming, you know. So, and then the other thing that, you know, to throw an extra monkey wrench in the whole thing here, once Rojas and Alcantara, I hope I'm saying his name right, are eligible to play, then you've got the sort of bottleneck with foreigners as well here. So that also will probably affect Marte and Sands in some way. So, what do you do?
True. We've got a bit of an embarrassment of riches over here. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so the 5-import rule is still in place for this year. It used to be 4, right? But because of COVID situation, they want to kind of ease up on things like that, restrictions, and make things a little bit easier. So 5 guys can be on the top squad at once. And we've got 6 currently in Japan, which basically leaves 1 guy as the odd man out. And we'll figure that out another time. But
I believe that they changed that rule a little bit from last year so that you aren't, if you go 1-4, you're not tied to 1-4 pitchers versus hitters or whatever. You can actually swap that ratio around now.
Yeah, so last year, just to kind of clarify, the rule was that you had to start your season with either one fielder and four pitchers, two fielders and four pitchers, 3-2, or 4-1. And then if you started with a 1-4 or a 4-1, you had to stay with that all year. But if you went to a 2-3 or 3-2, I think you could swap between those two, but you couldn't go 4-1 either way. So this year they've changed that, so it's very fluid. But the bottom line is that we do have five guys eligible, and I think it would be a real waste to have one position player and four pitchers. Just given how many good pitchers we have and what a need we have for good hitting, even if it means putting one of these guys on the bench as a pinch hitter. Now, another interesting thing is that Jerry Sands, we've been talking back and forth a little bit since the interview I did last month, and I asked him, I said, so which one do you think you're going to be playing more? Like, has the team given you any indication? And he said, well, at the start of the year, they said, we're lining you up to play first base, but we're also going to make sure that you're ready to go outfield just in case. So I don't know if they've given up on the Sands first base plan, but honestly, like you guys brought up, all these factors of Oyama, Marte, and you know, how are we going to play that situation out with Sato being in the infield or outfield? So it really does become very complex and confusing as to what should be done. So I'm going to actually go with, hey, who am I to argue with Mr. Tigers? I'm going to say put Oyama at first and Sato at third, at least at the start. See how that goes. And the big thing, though, I think is, honestly, you got to stroke Oyama's ego a little bit. I mean, this is a guy that last year, okay, so in 2019, he led the team with a measly 14 home runs, but he still led the team in home runs and RBI, 76, something like that. Well, they didn't only not have him starting at third last year on opening day, they didn't have him in the starting lineup, and he didn't even get into game one. So they can't do the same thing to him this year. They have to make sure that if they are putting Sato at third, that they, you know, they have Oyama on board. And not saying like, well, you're the movable piece, or, you know, you still aren't the star of the team. So, you know what I mean? Like, I think he still has to be given his props. All right. So then on third base, I don't know, we've either got Sato or Oyama. And then I've got Yokawa as the third option, because that is his natural position. But probably this is going to come down to Oyama and Sato, don't you think?
Agreed.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, Marte isn't going to get any more time at third base, I don't think so.
Well, depending on injuries and so on, you never know.
Yeah.
Never say never. But sure. It's nice that he's able to do that, though.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have a lot of flexibility as far as positions that guys can play. All right, let's look at the middle of the infield, and we can do this kind of all together as one, because a lot of these guys can play both of the positions. So we've got Yamamoto, who came over from the Giants. It was a trade for money. He wears number 00. Oh, how I miss Uemoto. Kinami wears number 0, Kumagai wears number 4, Hojo wears 26, Itohara wears 33, Obata wears 38, Nakano wears 51, and Ueda wears 62. So we've got just a crazy traffic jam going on there in the middle of the infield. These guys are small enough that they could all fit in and there'd still be holes in the infield.
Ooh, ouch.
But then, you know, if I stand next to them, I'll realize that's not the case. But they definitely look small on TV and compared to the other guys. So,
well, unfortunately, defensively speaking, that's probably the case too.
That was a bigger jab than mine. Okay, who have you guys got as the two guys that you think should get the bulk of the playing time at those two positions? Let's start with Sanjay this time.
Yeah, I might be a little bit unorthodox here. I mean, the second baseman, I'm going with Itohara just because I think he's proven it, he's earned it, and he's definitely... we missed him a lot when he wasn't in the lineup last year, which is a good enough reason for me to want to start him there at the start of this year. For shortstop, though, I think I've got the guy that maybe most people are overlooking more than others. I want Obata there to start the year. And I'm basing this on a sample size of about 5 swings I saw on a YouTube clip during batting practice during spring training. But, you know, one of my deals with him was that he really wasn't ready to hit with authority against Ichigun, you know, top level pitching. He kept, you know, slapping it to opposite field and so on. This year, I saw him pulling the ball, hitting it hard, hitting it to, you know, right center and right. In the air, past the infield, even past some of the outfielders' regular positions hit. So I'm thinking that he's maybe picked something up. Okay, it's batting practice, but I'm hopeful that between his fielding prowess, in spite of his errors that they show on the record books, and his size and his speed, and now his newfound hitting strength, hopefully that he's the one that we want getting most reps just for the future as well.
So Itohara and Obata. Okay.
Itohara and Obata, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to disagree with you eventually, but first let's hear what JD's got.
Okay, yeah, well, I would agree with Itohara. I think he's really the only real choice at that point. You know, with, of course, Kumagai and Ueda being available as replacements later on in a pinch-running situation. Shortstop is tricky for me because, you know, defensively speaking, there's nobody who really stands out. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of what Yamamoto has done, so I can't say too much there, but... You know, Kinami is not that great a defender, unfortunately. Hojo has had plenty of adventures on defense as well. And Obata, I would say that, I mean, we've seen a small sample size. I don't think he's that much worse than the other guys from what I've seen. So it's tricky. I mean, I would say probably I would lean toward Kinami for the time being because I just feel like he has a little more experience at the plate. And... yeah, you know, again, there's nobody that really stands out, but I'd go with him for the beginning with Obata as, I guess, sort of a backup, you know, basing it off of what things like what Sanjay just said.
Okay, well, I'm going to stick with you guys with Itohara at second base, and a big reason for that is that he's just got a good on-base percentage. He takes a lot of pitches, which is what you kind of want out of your number two hitter. And I think he's got enough experience. He doesn't strike out very much as well. So if you want to try the hit and run, I think you got a better chance of the ball being in play on things like that with him in the lineup as opposed to anybody else. So I like him batting second and also playing second. As for shortstop, I really think Kinami's defense improved from 2019 to 2020. Which were his first and second years. And I think that there is the possibility that it will improve even further. The thing I like about him is that he's just got, he's kind of got the alpha dog, alpha male thing going on about him, where he doesn't want to give that position to anybody. He wants to be the man. And I think just that attitude goes a long ways. And no offense to guys like Hojo, but I don't really see that in him. I don't see the killer instinct in him as much. I really do like the kid. Though he's not a kid anymore. And then I think as a backup, though, to Kinami, maybe Yamamoto. He has looked good. His defense is probably stronger than any of these guys, including Obata. And I think for Obata, I hate to say it, but I think he should start on the farm. And the biggest reason for that is give him the shortstop position on the farm every day. See if he can hit Nigun pitchers hard. Because even the Nigun pitchers in the Western League, they're pretty darn good. I mean, Oryx has got a really good young staff. And then, of course, SoftBank is basically like their Nigun squad could probably win the Central League. So it really is a challenge going up against these teams. And I think giving him consistent playing time in a little bit less of a pressure-filled situation is much better for his growth than putting him on the top squad and expecting him to thrive with Kinami, Yamamoto, and others breathing down his neck. So for now, maybe for 2021, I say Obata start at Nigun. I love him, and I hope that he is our shortstop of the future, but right now I don't think his time has come yet. All right, finally we've got the outfield where we have three positions to fill, and we're not even going to talk about center field because everybody knows Chikamoto is the man. He's got the position. There's no debating that. There's no one that could possibly even come close to filling those shoes. So the other two positions, though, left and right, who have we got? Obviously, Rojas Jr. is still not here, and we don't know when he is going to be here. I, in fact, heard that today the Tokyo area may be extending their state of emergency for a couple more weeks. That being the case, immigration might also not slacken for a couple more weeks, which really puts us in a bit of a bind as far as getting Rojas Jr. and Alcantara here for the season. So, the other guys that I see as possibilities are Yoshio Itoi, number 7. Shun Takayama, number 9. Taiga Egoshi, you can laugh all you want, number 25. Kota Inoue, number 32. Jerry Sands, number 52. And Masahiro Nakatani, number 60. And I'll add Yokawa in there as well because he got some playing time in the outfield last year. He wears number 55, as we've already said. So who are your two guys that you've got fill in these positions? I actually think we're probably all going to agree on left field as well, as long as he's not playing first base. Am I right?
You're right.
Happy hands, Jerry Sands. Yes, bring it.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no question, right, with him. How can you keep that bat out of the lineup?
He's even when he's slumping, like the impact that he made in those first 2-3 months of the season last year, there's no pitcher in the Central that has forgotten that, and they're still scared of him, even if he's slumping. And he provides that protection in the lineup as well. Like if he's batting fifth and Oyama is fourth, well, people are going to say, well, we don't want to have to face Sands with an extra guy on base. They're not going to pitch around Oyama as much, which is going to improve Oyama's numbers as well. So I really think that is a no-brainer. Okay, so for right field then, really it comes down to Itoi, Takayama, Yokawa, Inoue, Egoshi, Nakatani. You want to just pull a name out of a hat, or do you have someone you like there, JD?
Okay, yeah, so yeah, I've got no arguments against Sands, of course. Now into the right field situation. Fans of this podcast will know that I am not the biggest fan of Itoi defensively, to say the least. I don't want to get back on that Itoi hobby horse here, but he's going to have to be tearing the cover off the ball for me to think that he needs to be in there. For the time being, I mean, you look at what Takayama has done in the spring, the preseason games or the spring training games we've seen so far. I would start Takayama in there and hopefully have him there for the foreseeable future, assuming he performs well enough. Obviously, once Rojas arrives, that changes things again. And again, there's going to be a lot of juggling of players here. You know, we might end up with a Sands Chikamoto Rojas situation as well. But for the time being, I would like to see Takayama in there. I just, you know, I think with Itoi, there's just a lot of intangibles as well. Just the fact that when you jog out, into a ball that falls for a hit, as opposed to really just, you know, running flat out and trying to catch it, I think it has a psychological effect on the pitchers that is not good. And I think somebody like Takayama, obviously, he realizes he is playing for his future right now. And I think he's going to put that extra effort in. Whereas Itoi is, you know, obviously he's about to ride off into the sunset. And so perhaps there's not as much, drive for him to really push it to the absolute limit. So start with Takayama in there. Itoi, have him sort of in the background. The other guys, again, would just have to factor in when there's an injury, I think. But beyond that, yeah, Takayama's my man.
Yeah, so no argument from me either. You know that I like Takayama. I called for him to be the first home run guy for this year. I liked him last year. I liked him ever since he was Rookie of the Year. So I'm really hoping that this year he's done enough to earn himself a starting spot for the opening day. And there were comments from none other than manager Yano saying, "Honki, he's serious this year." Not that he wasn't serious before, but he knows that he's playing for his career almost at this point, and it's still a young career. So I'm going with my man, number 9.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you guys with Takayama. I've liked what I've seen as well, and there could very well be somebody else coming along that he may have met some special woman, and now he's playing for two, as a lot of these guys like to say when they're up against the ropes. But I'm going to call for a platoon because I've liked what I've seen out of Yokawa as well this spring. And also even last year, I mean, in limited playing time, he had a career high in home runs and has been doing quite a good job. So it also is convenient that one of them is lefty and one is righty. So we could actually use them in a platoon type situation. And that's what I'm calling for in right field, at least until Rojas comes along and puts them both into the oblivion.
He's a one-man platoon, right? Switch hitter.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, guys, let's look at the pitching staff now real quick. We can probably agree on most of the starting, say, four of the six starting pitchers. And then after that, we'll argue about 5 and 6 or whatever. And then the relievers as well. So for starters, I've got on my list of potentials, number 14, Chen, number 15, Nishi, number 16, Nishi, number 19, Fujinami, 20, Nakata, 21, Iwata. You can laugh at those, but they are possibilities. 27, new guy, Ito, 28, Ono, 29, Takahashi when he gets back, 46, Akiyama, 48, Saito, 49, Gunkel, and 50, Aoyagi are the bunch that I've got. Now, we can agree, as long as Nishi's healthy, we've got Yuki Nishi, Koyo Aoyagi, Takumi Akiyama, and let's face it, we are expecting Fujinami to be in that starting rotation.
Absolutely.
And then I would even say that probably Wei Yin Chen is hands down, he's in there as well. So we're already up to five. Who would you like to see in that number six spot on opening day? And Takahashi is obviously out of the equation for that.
Man, that's tough. I don't know, you know, because Ono is the guy that, I mean, what has he been doing lately? He's, you know, for a while he was sort of the up-and-coming starter, then he had some injury issues and stuff. What has he had much action in the spring so far?
He's been really good this spring, actually, yeah. I mean, like, he looks like he's got his control back. I think on the farm last year, he was averaging over a walk per inning, but he's back to quote-unquote normal as far as that goes. And so, I would say that he's looking better. He definitely looks a little bit more in control. I don't know if Fujinami had that effect on him or what. Like, hey, if Fujinami can get his together, maybe I can too. But he definitely looks like a different man than he did last year.
Yeah, maybe in that case, I'd maybe go between him and Gunkel. Those might be the two choices that I would go for that last spot for the time being.
You know, it'd be interesting to have Gunkel in there because that's almost like a placeholder in a way for Alcantara. Because when that comes along, I mean, they could kind of bump Chen and Alcantara in and out of that rotation and fill every sixth start. I don't know. Okay, Sanjay, what do you got?
Well, I had Gunkel penciled in there, but here's one that's a bit unorthodox and probably won't happen, but our number one draft pick, Ito, right?
Yeah.
I've watched him a couple times. I love the way he raises his glove hand high as he's going into that pitch. Looks like he's really getting into it and flinging it. I'd love to see what he can do against, you know, top level competition, just for the sake of, you know, being a, you know, from a fan's perspective.
Well, when I asked Sans, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, what he thought of the new guys, Ito was one that he mentioned. And so he definitely has promise. And not to say that Sans is, you know, the top evaluator of talent, but certainly somebody that sees a lot of pitching and pitchers. He could do a better job than we could. So I'm okay with Ito being in there, but I'm going to go for a dark horse, a guy that I talked about on a different show long ago, not our show, but a different one. I think Yukiya Saito has got a shot at that number six spot. And the number six spot might not come around as often as we think, just because with rainouts, things might get shifted, or because of matchup things, we might put Nishi in there on short rest, things like that. But still, as a guy that maybe could get, like, say, 10 or a dozen starts this year, I think that he is a viable option. So Saito is my man, but let's look at the bullpen now. And we don't have to spend a ton of time on this. But again, we've got limited number of spots. And these are the guys that I see as potentially filling them. Number 13, that's right, number 13, Iwazaki. Number 17, Iwasada. 18, Baba. 42 Edwards, 43 Moria as a dark horse. I'm not sure about his health. 49 Gunkel could be thrown into the bullpen. Kajiya, number 54, the new messenger. He came over from SoftBank. And then Ogawa, number 66, who was part of the Biohazard crew last year. Rookie Daichi Ishii, wearing number 69. And then, of course, our closer, Robert Suarez. So, just any names. I guess we're looking at like six or seven guys, and Suarez and Iwazaki. And probably Edwards and Iwasada are a given because Iwasada is the captain. There's no way they're putting him anywhere else. What do you think about those other names, though? Any of these guys that you like or don't like?
I like Bubba. Get Bubba in there. Yeah. Hard throwing, you know. He's got some pop in his bat, too. Not that he's going to ever use it, but still, you know, he's a big kid. And I think, you know, what year is this going to be for him? He's been here for a few years. I think it's... Yeah, that's right. So I think it's time for him to step up, and this could be a chance for him to do so. And maybe Ogawa in there as well. Aside from that, nobody, I can't really. What's the deal with Moria's health? What's the issue there?
I think last year he had some, I think it was his forearm. It wasn't elbow or shoulder, I don't think. But he did miss most of the year last year.
So
I think he's going to need a bit of time on the farm maybe to show that he's ready to be back on the top squad. He only really had that one good, like 2019 was his great year. Aside from that, he's been a bit of a stinker for most of his time with the team. So I'm interested in Kajiya and also Daichi Ishii, though. They've both really gotten the attention of Yano this spring. So it'll remain to be seen how they do against other hitters in March. So, yeah, I think, though, on the whole, we've got a pretty good bullpen setup, just like we have for many of the years that we've been following the Tigers. The one thing that I think is missing from this team, particularly in the pitching staff, is experience. And that's where, dare I say, guys like Iwata and Nakata might come in handy, especially if they get shifted into the bullpen. Kyuji's gone and Nomi is gone. And so that leaves a bit of a hole as far as just the super experienced, you know, guys that are able to create that good atmosphere in the bullpen. That is being put on Iwasada's shoulders right now. Mm-hmm. And he may be able to do it and he may not. It's kind of hard to say.
I like that idea of Iwata being shifted into the bullpen, actually. I mean, he always makes me nervous when he's starting because you sort of wonder when the meltdown is going to happen. But he might be the kind of guy who can find some effectiveness if he's limited to one inning. And like you said, having his presence in there, I think, would be a big thing because he's the real veteran at this point, isn't he?
3 years ago-ish, Nomi was pushed to the bullpen full-time. And that went well. And there's about 3 to 4 years gap between Nomi and Iwata in age. So it's about the same stage of their careers. So yeah, I can see that working as well.
I'm thinking even more extreme than that. Bring him in as a spot lefty reliever to throw against the lefty hitter.
I thought you were going to say more extreme, like bring back QG at all costs or something like that.
Oh, well, that thought, you know, bring back QG as a bench guy or, you know, a coach or, you know, the guy driving the bullpen car or something.
Just his presence. We need him. We need that presence. Yeah. All right, guys, let's jump into some predictions now. And we have got a schedule of games ahead of us that we'll just kind of announce. We'll breeze through, but we're not going to predict games or records or anything. We're going this weekend up against the Hawks in Fukuoka, followed by a couple of games against the Carp at home during the week next week. And then on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have Lions, Giants. I'm hoping to actually get to one of those Lions games. And then Tuesday, we go back to the Tokyo area to face the Swallows, and then Wednesday against the Lions. And then the following weekend, which will happen probably after our next episode, is against the Buffaloes at Kyocera Dome for the annual pre-Kansai Derby.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out, H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out, H10 predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going
to be? This brings us to the point of the show where we have to make the announcement that we're doing another Central League prediction show later this month, and we need your predictions to make the show fun. We also need your prediction in order for a prize to be given out to anybody who runs the board and gets all of the standings exactly right. The odds are slim, but hey, take that chance. Send your audio recording to the email address that's in the show notes, thehunchingtigers@gmail.com, no later than Monday, March 22 at 11:59 p.m. Japan time. List your predictions from 6th through 1st with reasoning if you have any, but try to keep it to within 2 minutes. You can send it by text only as well, but that's just not as cool. So you lose cool points big time if you just make me read your predictions. Don't forget to include your answer to the tiebreaker question. Who's going to hit more homers for Hanshin in 2021? Jerry Sands, Jeffrey Marte, or Mel Rojas Jr.? And how many will they hit? Again, the deadline, March 22, 11:59 p.m. Japan time. Get your entries in. And you guys are either going to do them live or you better have an entry as well.
Just a clarification on that last question. You're not asking who's hitting the most homers in the Tigers. It's just who out of those three.
That's right. That's right. Because I figured if it's just Tigers, it's everybody might just say Oyama.
Oyama, right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for tuning in to H10, everybody. And if you haven't gotten your fill of Tigers news, check us out on Patreon for some exciting benefits and bonus material. There's always good stuff out there, including some extra excerpts of the interview we did with Jerry Sands. I've also got another interview lined up for this Friday. There might be some bonus stuff for patrons only there. Check us out also on the website, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You name it, we got it, except for TikTok. Details in the show notes. Special thanks to Anwar Amr. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, for the theme music that we've been using for the past year and a bit. And thanks for show. Doing the show. Mix it. We'll catch you next time, everyone.